For he shall grow up before him as a plant, and a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we were healed. And now for just a moment, are you through, Brother Wood? The book, thank you. Let us bow our heads just a moment for prayer now as we settle down now, everyone, for the service. I see two little afflicted children sitting here tonight, little boy and little girl, sitting in a wheelchair. Another little girl laying across her mother's lap with a blanket over. Let's ask God if he'll be merciful to these ones tonight. Along with you, I see a little afflicted boy sitting back here too, in the arms of the mother, perhaps. Oh, I see a man with his crutches up close to him. What a scene now. Let's talk to the great Maker now as we have our heads down. Our Heavenly Father, we have come tonight for no other purpose but to the glory of God and for a testimony of Jesus Christ, thy Son. This great historical meeting for the city is just now beginning to come to the close. Is at the close of the meeting one day, the feast, when Jesus stood up in the midst of the people and cried out, I am the rock that was in the wilderness. Your fathers did eat man and are dead. And how he exalted God before them and telling them of what his mission was on earth. And Father, we pray that these last few nights, as he has been in the future, may he be even in a greater portion. Manifest himself to us. We're reading here from your scripture tonight of how he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. God be merciful to us all. Forgive us of our sins. Help us tonight, Lord, to lay aside every weight and the sin that is easily beset us, that we might run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, just for a few moments, not to preach, but just as I have been doing, exalting Christ, I want to use the subject of this, a God's provided way. You know, there's two ways for all things. You're aware of that, aren't you? That's your way and God's way. And you can't be in your, have your own way and be in God's way at the same time. You have to get out of your own way to let God have his way. Isn't that true? Now, it's either right or left. Now, if you're going your way, you're out of God's way. And if you cease from your own way, you get in God's way. God can have his way when you cease to have your way. But as long as you're having your way, God can't have his way. So you have to go one of the other ways. So let's just let our own way drop tonight, and let's let God have his way. God has a way. He likened here, he said to the prophet, all we like sheep have gone astray. I like that. God likened us into sheep. I wonder why. Anybody ever raise any sheep? Well, you know that a sheep is the most helpless thing in the world when it's lost. It just can't find its way home at all. Is that right, sheep raisers? And I'll have to help raise them myself out on the western prairie. And hurry them a minute. But notice, a sheep, when he's lost, he'll just stand and blink. That's all. The wolves will come get him. That's all. That's a shepherd doesn't come to him. And that's the way it is with us. When we're lost, we're absolutely hopeless unless the shepherd comes and gets us. So I'm glad tonight God's got a shepherd over his sheepfold, aren't you? And when we call, he always hears. And all we like sheep have gone astray. He has wandered out. But God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. How that on one man the iniquity of all the world was laid. All the sins, all the sickness, everything that was wrong was laid upon that one sheep, God's provided lamb. And he took him up to Calvary and crucified him to be the substitute for our wickedness and our sickness and our transgressions and all that we've done against God and all ourselves, and he was God's provided sacrifice for us. God's provided way. Now, God has always had a way. He's got a way tonight. And God always, before he sends judgment, he always makes a way of escape. Out of every trial, God makes a way of escape. And God makes a, before he sends his judgment, I might say first, before he sends judgment, he always sends mercy. And if you spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment, and you've judged yourself. See? You've always made your judgment. Now tonight, when you come about divine healing, you say, I don't believe it. Well, you couldn't get healed. There's no hope for you. See? But you already judged yourself. And when you reject Jesus Christ as Savior and die, you don't have to be judged. You're already judged. Your attitude towards God's provided way has judged you. It's not necessary that any man would go to hell. And God don't send no one to hell. He sends yourself to hell.
Amen.
God's done everything in the world he can to keep you from going to hell. And yet you determine to go to hell. You fight over every barricade God puts in your way. You just go right on over. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in this. Just headlong. Now, there's a red light here in the city. And it turns red and green. That tells you when you can stop and go. If you run it, well, don't blame the city. They put the light up there for your protection. But if you run on through it, that's up to you. It's you brought your own judgment. You remember when that first little corn silk cigarette you smoked, standing around behind the chimney behind the house, and went and eat some coffee to keep Mama from smelling your breath? Mama said, have you been smoking? No, Mama. What was the first thing? That conscience says, don't do that, little boy. You're lying. But you fought right on past the conscience. No, Mama, I didn't smoke it. There's God's first provided way for you to stop right there. That's a halt light. Stop. Don't say that. Tell her the truth. If you get a whipping, go ahead and tell the truth about it. Then the next thing you go to church. You hear the hymn sing, the gospel preached. Something the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. Come, repent. And you say, oh, that I'm young. I got plenty of time. And I got this. I got to do this. See, you're rejecting God's provided way and judging yourself. Then how can you blame God? You can't. You got to blame yourself. There's not a bit of need of anyone going to hell, and God has made a provided way of escape. You can't help being a sinner. You can't help that. You was born a sinner. But you can help staying a sinner. For if you accept Jesus as in your place, as he was made sin for you, God's way of escape, then you don't have to be a sinner. You'll be a Christian. And you'll be holy. Not your own holiness, but his holiness. Not what you are, but what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. See? Your own ways, you can quit lying, you can quit stealing, you can quit smoking. That don't mean you're saved. No, sir. You're saved because God ordained that you should be saved and called your heart. That's why you're saved. No man can come to the Father except my Father draws him. And God has made a way of escape now. In the days of, and had a provided way for it. Look in the days of Noah. Jesus referred back to it. Back there in the Andalusian world. Let's go back just for a few moments and run ourselves back. Now, it never rained on the earth. The earth set up straight. The reason it leans back this way today is hot and cold air, which brings up the vapor, and that's what makes the clouds and so forth. But to that time, it had never rained on the earth. God watered it through springs and so forth, in the gardens, and the springs beneath it. It never rained. There never been a cloud in the sky over this earth to that time. And then God, seeing the wickedness of man, how that they sin, and God is holy, and he can't stand sin. And he said that he would destroy man, and he told Noah to go preach a message of mercy before divine judgment came. Now, what did they do in that day? They laughed and made fun of Noah. God had a provided way for every mankind to escape if he would take it, but man rejected it. He didn't walk that way, and he thought Noah was crazy. I can hear him talking down in the city, maybe down in some of the cities of the day, saying, hey, what do you think about that rain story that guy's talking about? It's going to rain water down the heavens. Do you ever hear such? I don't see any up there. But if God said there was going to be some up there, he can put some up there. God was giving a way of escape. He was making a mercy for the people, and they rejected it. And Noah preached 120 years, trying to get the people to reform, not to reform, but to repent. And to come and come into the ark. And all the time he was building away on an ark. He made it out of a certain class of wood. And for the saving of his own household and to those who would come. There was a door in the ark. And how I can look back there and think now that about the time that Noah got through preaching and all the people had rejected, they made fun of him and laughed at him. Do you believe that? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, moral, immoral, pollution, just about like they got now.
Amen.
Just the same way, and a message that seemed to be to the world of fanaticism. Hallelujah. That's right.
Amen.
God's got to provide it with tonight, and it's called fanaticism.
Amen.
But it's God's message. There's a door large open, and that door is Jesus Christ. God's provided way.
Amen.
Any man wants to come is welcome, but to reject it is to die.
Amen.
That's right. And remember, the same rain that drowned the world saved Noah. The same water that destroyed the world, brought judgment upon the world, was what saved Noah. And the same Holy Ghost tonight that you're making fun of and spurning that and calling out the people a bunch of holy rollers, that same Holy Spirit will save the church, will judge the world and condemn it. Right. The church will be taken up. The world will be condemned by the same spirit that they're listening to tonight. That's right. To reject it is death. To receive it is life. Either right or left. Negative or positive. And as it was, Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah. But God was determined that something would be saved. And listen, let's take a little drama. I just like it. When I can hear back there now, Noah got through preaching, his sons believed in it. Their wives and so forth, they were ready. There never been any rain. And the first thing you know, I can hear the first roar of thunder go forth. I hear somebody say, what was that down the city? Oh, they were dancing and eating and drinking and having a big glorious time and full of gaiety, just like the world today, for Christ said it would be this way. It can't be no other way. There's no need of praying for it to be changed. It can't be changed, or God done said it wouldn't be changed. The only thing to do is save yourself from this generation by looking to Jesus Christ, accepting Him, and be born into the God's provided way, the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Listen, He died on the cross, and there He bled. He was took upon Himself the form of sinful flesh. He died in my stead. Just as God took out of the side of Adam a rib and made a bride to him, God opened up the side of Christ and taken out water, blood, and spirit for a bride, Himself, for Christ. How beautiful! And by one Spirit, not by one church membership, by one Spirit, are we all baptized?
Amen.
Are we all baptized into one body and become members of that body? And just as sure as God raised that body in the literal out from the grave, the spiritual body will go in the rapture. Truly. As it was in the days of Noah, the first thunder, I can look up there and hear the city begin to scoff at it. Said, what was that? Was a blast went off somewhere. But look, let's look even at the animals. I can see the old mother bird sitting up in a tree. She's chirping away, and the father bird over there happy. And the first thing you know, when they heard the thunder, the old mother bird said, that's just what Noah said. Let's go. I can see the old mother camel out on the hill, the father camel. That's it, mother, come on. That's just exactly what Noah said. I can see the little monkey with his coconut. He drops and says, come on, mother, let's go. And away they went, two by two in the yard. I tell you, something's got to hear the gospel. Hallelujah. And as the Spirit of God upon camel life brought the animals into the ark, how much more us, the Holy Ghost, the men and women today who believe God and hear the Scripture and hear the Word and see God's way? How marvelous. Yes, sir, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Moses took God's provided way when we were down there in Egypt. How are they going to get out of it? God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. But he said, now I'm going to make a way of escape because I'm going to send death over the land. Say, listen, here's something striking. Watch plague after plague after plague, but the last plague fell was death.
Amen.
Just before the deliverance. Notice it. How striking it is today. Jesus said there'll be perilous times shall come. Man's heart would fail. I said there'd be distress between the nations. Sea roaring, tidal waves that's never been heard of before bursting forth in the seas.
how did all these signs be coming to pass just like it was in the days of Noah? It would be again. How marvelous. But remember, the last plague that fell was death. And the last thing God has given us, warning after warning, warning after warning. Now the last thing that's come is death, spiritual death. The churches are dying.
Amen.
Spiritually.
Amen.
That's right, friend. We talk about the revival in America. We haven't got any revival. We've got a lot of church joining, but we haven't got any revival. One of the famous evangelists not long ago was claimed 30,000 in 6 weeks, or 20,000, believe it was. About 6 weeks after that, couldn't find 20 people. The reason of it is this, friend, is because they just had the people just to make a confession, just stand up and sit down. That's good. That's all right, as far as you go. But, brother, there's a deeper experience in that. You've got to get that person to where the Holy Spirit takes control of that life by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's God's provided way. The same as it was in the days of Noah. One of them said, well, now look, if it does happen to come the way Noah said, I'll just get on me a big white poplar log and float along. God's provided way was the only thing that floated. Your popularity won't last in that day. It won't stand in that day. I don't care what you got. God hasn't got any shortcuts. You come with the cross, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, or you're gone, you're lost. No shortcuts. You got to come God's way. What if I started home tonight and said, let's see now, the beeline like this. I get stuck in the mud. They provided a highway. I've got to take the mark and follow it. And I'll tell you, here's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized. Name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises of you and your children, them as far off, even Connorsville, Indiana. And as many as the Lord our God shall call. And since that time, brother, Jesus said, except the man be born of water and spirit, he'll immortalize in her. They've adopted different things, friends, but that's not God's Bible. No shortcuts. You got to come the rugged way. Truly. I think of Naaman. Back there when he tried to take a shortcut. The prophet told him, go down and dip in Jordan. Oh, he said, the water's up here just as well. Just as well up here as it is down there where he's going on up with his leprosy. But the prophet told him to go dip in Jordan. Now, I can see him. It kind of hurt his prestige. Got off of the boat or his little chariot, walked out there and held his nose, you know, dipped down his body. It might hurt him. Might get you all upset. Here not long ago, a preacher said to me, Sunday school teacher, rather, in the city I live, said, Brother Branham, how in the world can you preach? And all them people saying amen and hallelujah and screaming and crying? Well, I said, if he wasn't doing that, I couldn't preach. I said, that's right. He said, they get me so excited. I said, it doesn't mean. if there's nothing going on, then I get excited. You know, your amen don't hurt me. Your shouting and crying doesn't bother me. Puts in mind when I used to go hunting. I used to like to night hunt. You ever do that? You Hoosier, you're a possum, huh? And I had an old dog, didn't have but one tooth, but brother, he had a lot of grit about him. And he would tackle anything but a skunk. And then when we got it under a brush pile like that, the only thing I had to get him to do to go get the skunk was just lift up the brush pile and hit him on the back and say, sicky boy, sicky boy. He'd get that skunk too. Brother, the worst skunk I know is the devil. Just take this thing out of it. Now you just say, amen, and that's hissy boy. We'll see him around me to say and tell you that. That's right. Oh, God, making a way of escape. God's provided way. Don't try to get in your own way. Noah tried to get in, or the people in Noah's time tried to get in their way, their own way. But God had a way in the way of the ark. He's got a way today, and it's the way of Calvary. And you say, well, I believe that, Brother Branham. Well, if you have and come by the door, you've got to receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Truly. How beautiful that parable was taught of the wedding supper. He found one there without a wedding garment on. Well, that's very typical in the Oriental times when they give a supper out or something or another. The bridegroom had to furnish the home. That's the way it is in this affair, too, the wedding supper we're going to. And then the bridegroom hired a man to stand at the door, and everybody that had an invitation come at the door, poor, rich, any kind, they put this robe around them. When they were in, they were all alike. I like that. Brother, there's old big me and little you then, when you come to lower the door. And then he found a man back there that didn't have a wedding garment on. He come in some other way, besides the door. the back of the building screaming and crying. Said, well, he said, why, it just makes chills go up my back. To hear her crying, shouting. I said, it did. I said, if you'd ever be fortunate enough to get to heaven, you'd freeze to death, Sam, when you got up there. Hear all that screaming and crying and shouting up there. While they cry, holy, 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 before him, day and night, all the time. Certainly, God has a provided way. You say you got some that new kind of religion, Brother Redden? No, sir. I got a brand new case of that old kind of religion. Oh, sure. Way back before there even was a world, they had shouting religion. Where was you? God said to Job, when I laid the foundation of the world, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Amen. Talk about something new. No, it's still the same thing. Hallelujah. No wonder when that stone come rolling into Jerusalem, all the people were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, and them starch priests said, make them hold their peace. They excite me. He said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out. Something has to take place. Yes, sir, I can notice Moses before the great separation time, before death come to strike the land, God made a way of escape for those who believe. Say, go out and get a male lamb. Keep it up 14 days. Perfect type of Christ. First one from the old mother, Yod. Must be a male kept up 14 days to be proved. It couldn't have a blemish. Christ's the same thing. First one from the mother, virgin. And was tried even. Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him. No one could find it. Judas Issachar said, I betrayed innocent blood. That pagan wife back there, Pilate, had a dream and sent the boy down from the palace. I can see Pilate standing there just ready to prevail judgment upon Jesus. I hear a horse come running, galloping up there. A boy jumps off and runs out, falls down to the side of his master, raised up, give him a piece of paper. He looks at it. I can see his face turn white, knees go to bumping together. Let's look over his shoulder and see what it says. It's coming from a heathen now. That have nothing to do with this just man, for I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him. I tell you, every enemy had to testify of him. Moon stars shut off their glories of that day. That was the Son of God. The Roman centurion said, truly, that was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He's God's provided way tonight. Every man or woman that's ever had done anything for God has been men and women who's believed that, held on to it, and kept it. It's thrilled the hearts of poets through the ages. Now think of Eddie Pruitt back there. What do you think of Christ, Eddie Pruitt? When he wrote the great song of all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Now think of Hopkins after being persecuted and everything the way he did. He said, when I survey the wondrous cross whereon the Prince of Glory died, I count all my pain to be but loss. Oh, my. Ask another one. What do you think of Christ? Who do you think he was? I think of Brian Fanny Crosby. What do you think of him? You was blind, never saw daylight in your life. What does Christ mean to you? If she could stand and I hear what she'd say, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Thou on other desire calling, do not pass me by. Thou the stream of all my comfort, more than that to me. Whom have I left beside thee, whom in heaven but thee? That's right. Another wrote, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. He justified freely forever. Someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Surely, God's provided lamb. God's provided sacrifice. Then I wait, Moses. I'll make you a type. And he took the blood of this lamb, killed it in the evening. Notice, all the elders of Israel had to witness to it. And they witnessed the death. Just as he did up there, he said, let his blood be upon us. And he died in the evening time. Jesus died at 3 o'clock. And he took the blood of the lamb of Hossa and sprinkled it up on the doorpost and on the lintel. Did you notice? Not on the floor. It's not to be looked down to. It's to be looked up to. And notice, on the doorpost and on the lintel, perfect the cross, there was the blood. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, God's provided way. How are we going to escape the death? He said, I'll watch for the blood. And there, that night, let's take a little drama. I can notice the father, of course, in the Old Testament was a priest of the house. Now he's a figurehead. Now he goes down and he puts on the door and a little post. And then when it come about night, I see all the young girls down there come out and tell the Hebrew girls, come on, we're going out to the dance. Why, they say, we can't go, we're under the blood. What a type, we're coming in God's blood, by the way. Nonsense with that religion. Who ever thought that blood would do anything? Come on out, let's have a good time. But they stayed under the blood. God said, when you go under the blood, stay there. Not in and out, in and out. Stay there. After a while, they come midnight. Great, dark, roaring cloud come up. I can look coming back to the other. I see two big black wings spread out across the nation. Here it comes. I can hear the priest of the family, the father say, there's the death angel sweeping the land now. Too late now. And the very black thing go dip down into a valley. Hear a scream come up from out of that house. The son was dead. Away he went. Quickly, here he comes right down to another house again. Goes in, the big black wings closing around the house. A scream comes up, the sun is dead. I hear the little boy say, Daddy, take another look. Be sure the blood's on there. Yes, sir. I tell you, if there ever was a time a man would examine himself, it's right now, brother. Is the blood on the door? Watch around, look good. Then the next thing you know, he kept watching for that. The little fellow said, Daddy, them wings make me nervous. He said, son, be of a good cheer. There's blood on the door. That's God's provided way. We're in his way. Hallelujah. Don't make any difference what the world says. We're under the blood. Hallelujah. So is it today of every day in the spark of the Holy Ghost. Under the blood, don't care what the world's got to say about it. Call you fanatics if they want to. As long as you know the blood's applied. All right, he said, there's no danger. And the first thing you know, these big black wings swept down towards your house. He seen the blood and just passed all over. How marvelous. When it got down there to the river and just couldn't get across. And of armies, God made a way of escape. God had a provided way. When it got into the wilderness, they had nothing to eat. God rained manna down. He was a provided way. When he got sick, he provided a brass serpent, making a way. The people, I can see him going up, the people would come look at the brass serpent to get well. Well, what's in that serpent? What's that got to do with it? Some of this mixed multitude went up. We still got them. Plenty of them. All this fanaticism there in us, too. But they looked and lived. That was God's provided way for divine healing for them. That's right. One day at a pool of Bethesda, God had a provided way for them. A little later on, there was a man come out, the lady in his shadow was God's provided way. Tonight, he's got the Holy Spirit here, which is God's provided way. Proving it. That's right. Separating from sin, taking away all the iniquities, and healing the sick and the afflicted. God's doing it. God's provided way. Notice the way of escape. Now, let's go a little farther. One day, they got without water. They got to murmuring, grumbling. The church, murmuring and grumbling, complaining against Moses, complaining against God. And God cut off the water supply. That's about like our Pentecostal churches today. One said, glory to God, I belong to the assemblies of God, and I'm the church of God, and the other, I'm the United Pentecost, I'm this, that, here. You keep grumbling, and God's cut the water off from you. Get your hearts together. Right. The streams will open up again. What we need tonight is a good old-fashioned outpouring gusher from heaven. Yes, sir. I think about your different separation. Jacob had a very pretty type of that. He dug one well, and the Philistines running away, he called it malice. They dug another well, and the Philistines running away, he called it strife. He dug another well, said his room for us all. That's right. Everybody, come drink. That's what it is tonight. Room, room. Yes, there is room. There's room at the fountain for every person in here. Every sin-sick soul, there's room at the fountain. Notice, oh my, there, and speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth its waters. Bring forth his. His is a personal pronoun. Speak to the rock, and it will bring forth his waters, that thou may drink. Now the people in that, watch, to the carnal mind, that was the most foolish thing that could have been said. Just like talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. To the carnal mind, why, that bunch of people's crazy. Well, it's the craziest thing you ever heard. If your doctor has done said you're going to die, what in the world can be done otherwise? But God said, speak to the rock. Amen. Why, he said, we've been to every water hole here. We've dug where the water was. We've come down here and every place is dry. We've visited every spring and it's dry. And the rock was the driest place there was in the wilderness. How God takes the foolish things of this world to compound the wise. Why, I say you might have sang to every doctor's office in the city. I'm not talking against the doctor. He does what he can do. Just a while ago before coming here, one of the greatest doctors in the South family was standing in my house. telling me, not only that, but he brought a patient that was incurable. He said, I know where somebody can pray the prayer of faith and it brought the boy. That's right. One of the top surgeons of Jewish hospital. Notice, then when they're just men like you and I. They got a soul, they got to die like we have. Doctor take his own medicine and die. What's the matter? The medicine's not the healer, God's the healer. Medicine's an aid. Medicine's all right, but medicine's got an aid. It isn't a healer. Medicine doesn't heal. Doctors don't say it heals. But God gave it here. It's remedies and so forth. Medicine is a remedy. God is a cure.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Now, notice this. When Moses said they told him to speak to the rock, and he would bring forth the waters. Now the carnal mind looked at that rock as the driest place in the desert, just about like the Holy Ghost Church today. Why, if God would ever do any gifts, he sure wouldn't send amongst that bunch of fanaticism. Here I'll all go out talking to a young lady, which was a reporter. She came down on the road, she found where we were staying. It was out in Oregon. And she had a pack of cigarettes with her. And she started pulling out one and smoking. And I think that's the lowest, immoralist thing that a woman could do. I have no apology for it. If God don't think no more of you at the judgment of the angel, if God speaks to me about that, you have the slimmest chance of anybody in the country ever getting in. That's right. Yes, sir. And she pulled out a cigarette. She just shows her colors what she is when she does it. Now let your face get red. And you man that lets your wife smoke cigarettes, it shows who's the boss around the house. That's right. Let them lay out here in these little beach clothes and things lay out here before a man strip down. I've got a girl at home. She might allow to get a suntan too, but better if she does, she's going to get a suntan. It'd be Charlie Branham, some of the barrel sat behind her, bring her home just as fast as I can bring her. That's right. I'll give her the kind of suntan she needs. Yes, sir. I mean that. God give us some good old. You talk about the literacy of Kentucky over here. Well, some of them old mammies that go back there and raise their youngest. Why make you feel ashamed of yourself? That'd say they're ignorant. Some matter with you. Well, I better stop on that. Or, brother, I believe it's either right or wrong. There's no dividing line. You're in or in or out. And if you do those things, it shows you're out. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you, said Jesus. That's right. So just by the fruits, you shall know them. I'm saying behind the pulpit, I'm not mean personally to anybody. I'm saying what God said. I'm responsible for preaching. God holds you responsible for the way you act about it. That's right. Amen. Oh, that's the truth. And there I noticed back there that when he spoke to the rock gave its waters. There was a man one day by the name of Elijah. The Lord told him, I'm going to make a way of escape. I'm going to send you up there on the mountain. I want you to stay up there because it ain't going to rain for 3 years and 6 months. And that old preacher stopped right up there before that king and said, the dew's not even going to fall from heaven till I call for it. How do you do that? He knows what God said was the truth. Walks up down the hill and I hear him say, King Ahab said, look here. Tell Jezebel his little painted up wife, you know, with all that manicure over her face. And, you know, Pentecostal women do that too. Brother, don't listen. Let me tell you something. I might as well get it right here. A long time ago, that was wrong to do it. But it isn't no more. Just like they took the old Charlie Barley car with that scarecrow hat on, old Charlie, put him in bumpers in the can, put him in the icebox. He dressed him up a little bit, but he's still Charlie Barley car. Just as much sin to drink it out of the bumper as it was out of the old barrel a long time ago. Right? Let me tell you something, women. If you're guilty of that, listen, I'll tell you what a complexion you better than anything. Take this little bit of the gospel in your heart. That's right. It'll take care of it. Let me tell you, there's only one woman in the Bible ever painted her face to meet man. And that was Jezebel. And God fed her to the dogs. Now, if you see a woman with a lot of paint on her face, so that's Miss Dog Meat. That's what God said. That's what the Bible means. That's what the Bible means. God fed her to the dogs. Amen. Well, all we need is an old-time Holy Ghost sent gospel power of God to take up the church and get back into the lane like they ought to be. God help these preachers. I talk about these. Hang along with little kid girls on faith. You're going to hurt somebody stealing. God's going to hurt every man in the world and be in friendship with God. Tell the truth. God will honor it. Amen. Amen means so be it. Don't get scared. That won't hurt you. Now look, brother, Elijah went up there and sat down by the brook. And someone said, that poor, illiterate fella, sitting up there on that top of that hill. Well, first thing you know, all the fountains dried up. They didn't have any rain. They said, well, I guess that old guy's about starved to death up there.
Say, well, he has. Well, look at him way up on top of you. But he, every time he wanted a drink of water, he just didn't help. Now he got a drink.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And they called him crazy. Well, they was one that was supposed to be so smart, and they were starving to death.
Yeah.
A good type of a born-again believer, darling.
Yeah.
We sit down to the roof by the inexhaustible fountain of life, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Whenever our soul needs a blessing, let's kneel down and drink.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'll give him rivers of living waters that's bubbling up into his soul, gushers coming out. Sit down by him one time, talk to him. See if it's not right.
Yeah.
He got that wife had tears in her eyes, just screaming and shouting and having a great time. Then they called you crazy like did Elijah. He was faring better than they was. You said that old preacher sat up there in the wilderness? Yes, sir. He was taking God's provided way for him during the time of the drought. He sat up there, but well, he's better off than a lot of people in Connorsville. He had some colored porters. The Bible said it. Every time when he got hungry or something, here comes some ravens with a sandwich. And they're right down to him. You're not that well off yourself. And then you called him crazy. He know what he was doing. He was in God's provided way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. A preacher said to me not long ago, a Jehovah Witness man, he said, Brother Branham, you mean to tell me you think that's the truth? Well, I said, sure it's the truth. He said, you mean that those crows brought Elijah some sandwiches? I said, yes, sir. Brought him some meat and bread. He said, where do you think they got it at? I said, I don't know. I said, only thing I know, they brought it. Elijah probably didn't know. They brought it, and he ate it. That's the same with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What makes it so? I don't know. God sends it. I'll drink it down. That settles it. As long as God sends it, that's his provided way. He sent it by a crow that day. He sends it by the Spirit today. So I just sit down, eat and drink, and have a good time. So you're crazy. Go ahead. That's all right. As long as I'm saying that God's provided way, as long as I'm sitting at the balance, so I eat and drink when I get hungry. Amen. Oh, my, how wonderful. There's some people one time that's worried about Jesus going away. Jesus said, don't worry. I made a way for you. A little while ago, and we'll see me no more yet. You'll see me. For I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Well, how are you going to be with us not in the world? I can't understand, sir. So what you do? You want to get in God's provided way? Sure. Just go up there at Jerusalem and wait there until the Holy Ghost comes. Well, how's the Holy Ghost going to come? I don't know. You just go that way. How long are we going to wait? Until. Well, you mean 2 hours? Until. Maybe it's a week? Until. Until what? Until you're due with power from on high. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive the Holy Ghost after this. You shall receive power after this. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Connorsville, Indiana, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What? After you become a deacon? No. After you get out of seminary? No. After you become a preacher? No. After you have received the Holy Ghost, you shall be my witnesses with power throughout the entire world. Every God-called witness must be endued with power from on high before he can be a witness. A witness has to know something, see something, know what he's talking about. Hey, man, I feel religious. I sure do. How wonderful he is. Hey, I've got to have a healing line in a few minutes to pray for this thing. Let's come to a close quickly. Let's not leave those Pentecostal people in that room up yonder all. They're just waiting to find out what God's provided way was. They're what kind of way God got to provide. So they're just waiting there. Peter said, you know, John, I'm ashamed the way I treat the Lord. He said, well, you ought to be. They got to talk to one another. One of them said, well, I was a Pharisee. And they said, I was a Sadducee. Well, they got that all out of their heart. And when they got all in one accord, sitting in one place, then suddenly there appeared unto them a God's provided way. Is that right? Now the way we like to heart the Catholics, so the way the Catholics would have it today, and here comes the father up the road with a little box under his arm. He had a holy sacrament in it, and the people licked out their tongue, and the priest drank the wine, and that's they call it Holy Eucharist. That's receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, you laugh at that, but be careful, Protestant. You're no better off. Now, the way we do it today, Dr. So-and-so gave a very good lecture this morning, and the people changed their membership from the Methodist to the Baptist. And they come up and give them the right hand of fellowship and walked away. That's just as unscriptural as the other is.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
that's right. But better the way the Bible said it, they were all in one place in one accord. Now, here's God's provided way. Not to shake hands with the preacher and take the right hand of fellowship and write your letter to the church. That's just as wrong as the Catholicism.
Yes,
so pot can't call kettle black. That's right. But the way the Bible said it, they were always one accord in one place. And suddenly there didn't come a priest, there didn't come a preacher, but there came a rushing mighty wind from above, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Big flames of fire set up on them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and went out into the yard staggering that drunk man. They were acting like maniacs, drunk. And listen, the Blessed Virgin Mary was in there, Sally friends. That's right. The Bible said she was in there. And if God would let her come to heaven without receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what about you? You'll never get there anything less. It's God's provided way. I am the door to the sheepfold. Any man comes in here away in the stain of the thief and robber. I am. Who is I am? Alone on the world, see me the more. Yet you shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
You might think we're lost, but we know where we're at.
Amen.
All right. God's provided way. They went out here, a great radio teacher the other day. Said, I can prove that divine healings are the devil. Could you imagine people you talk about, Pentecostal people falling for anything? What about this? Acts 19. Said that Apollos, that Baptist preacher up there, didn't know Jesus. Why, he did know Jesus. He was preaching and proving that Jesus was the Christ because he wanted to confirm the word. He only knew the baptism of John. And that's where a lot of my good Baptist friends tonight, they only know the baptism of the church. But the baptism that comes from God is the Holy Ghost. It comes like a fresh and mighty way in the same way. God's provided way. That's right. But he wanted to bypass that. Have you received the Holy Ghost? He said, when you believe. No. Since you believe. Another fellow said the other day, one of these radio messages, that you pay all your money out to support and everything like that, and now come back and blaspheme the religion that you're trying to live for. Poor weakness. All right. But look here. That man said that because he's trying to bypass the divine healing program is on the air, I know there's a lot of fanaticism in it, and I know there's a lot of fanaticism in the other. So it's just six to one and a half a dozen the other. That's right. They said, Brother Bam, since you guys started to have campaigns, everybody's a divine healer. That's all right. Look at Billy Graham. Look at the Billy Grahams who are across the country, too. Look at the rest of them. Brother, they got it, too. So sure. That's right. Well, what's here, brother? Let me tell you. He said that Simon the sorcerer was down there healing the sick and bewitching the people. And that's misquoting the scripture to the public. I challenge that in the name of the Lord Jesus, that Simon the sorcerer did not do any healing and the devil cannot heal. Anybody would say the devil's heal shows he's either mental deficiency or he don't know his Bible. How in the world can God be the one that heals all of our diseases and the devil his partner? Why, my, that's silly to think such. The devil is not a healer. And Simon the sorcerer was bewitching the people, not healing them. It was Philip that done the healing and caused the great revival to sweep the city. Philip, by the name of Jesus Christ, cast out devils and caused great joy, and they were screaming and shouting and having a great time. And still didn't have the Holy Ghost. And Peter came down and laid hands on him and then he received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, friend. My, we promised to pray for the people. I just feel, I believe I'm living right at the spout tonight where the gusher's coming out. This is the first revival I've preached in for 6 or 7 years. Just feeling good about it. I'm just bailing out my soul. God has a provided way. And that's His Son, Christ Jesus. He died for you at Calvary. In there He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. We were past tense. Now all you have to do is draw dividends off of His death. Every born-again man is given a checkbook and enough checks in our life throughout your entire life. For anything that that atonement calls for, the only thing you have to do is fill out the check and send it in. Every believer. Jesus' name is signed at the bottom. Whatever things, so everything you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. It'll be given to you. Is that right? Whatsoever you desire, believe that you receive it, you shall have it. What a marvelous promise. I think about a provided way. Back in the Old Testament, they used to have, just before closing, now listen closely, give me your undivided attention. In the Old Testament, they had lambs and doves and things for sacrifice. I heard a little story one time about a caravan coming over the hills of Palestine, coming down through the plains into Jerusalem, and a little dove was restless He was going up to, he knew a little while he'd been caught in a trap. And he knew a little while it wouldn't, he had his little head pulled off. He'd have to bleed as a sacrifice. And he was restless trying to get through the cage door. Everywhere pushing and cooing. The sun was coming up. The camels were walking slowly as they're coming in, getting in for the morning sacrifice where the sellers and changers out there could kill the little fellows. And he was so restless, trying to push his little head through every crevice, round and round and round the cage. The rest of them were cooing along, but that little fellow was trying his best to get out. He just kept trying, kept trying. You know, I've seen now, I hate to see anything caged up. I just can't stand it. I know these little canary birds, if you turn them out, they die, but I just can't really stand to see one little fellow's caged up. It's all right now, I'm not talking about your canary, but I just say anything in a cage. If I love wildlife, many times I've caught little pet wolves. How I love those little fellows. A little bear packed into the woods when I have to run with him nearly. I say now, I think, but take him home, I have to tie him up, the poor little fellow. Let him loose. Let him have his liberty. I don't like anything bound down, shackled down. But to my old cold form of religion, it shackles you and binds you. And so I don't like that. I like everyone who the Son has made free is free indeed. That's right. Just take your liberty. Then I think, then one time, seeing that, how I watched the big old eagle where he'd beat his head. Night after night, he'd sit there at that cage up here at the Cincinnati Zoo's where I saw it. You'd look down, he'd go around to the birds, and I'd see that eagle, he'd flop against there, he'd beat his head, he'd come back again, he'd hit against there, and he'd flop against the top of it, he'd fall down, and the first thing you know, he'd just beat himself to the feathers it all out of him nearly, and he'd sit out like that, his weary eyes rolled up, looking around, and I thought, oh God, that's a heavenly bird. He soars in the heavens above. Here he is caught, he fell into a trap. He's absolutely helpless. He can't deliver himself. His weary eyes rolling around. I felt so sorry for him. He can't help himself. And every man that's fell into the snare of the devil is worse off than him. You're a heavenly being. You're supposed to be a son of God. You're a free brother. You got liberty in Christ Jesus, breathing God, loving God, living free from sin, living free from death. That's right. But the devil's caught you and caged up with smoking, drinking, all kinds of immoral living, and thinking you're popular, thinking you're doing something. That's the most great, horrible sight than to see that poor eagle beating his brains out there against the cage trying to get free. And you're helpless, just as helpless as you can be, unless somebody puts forth his hands and opens the cage. And I'll tell you that Jesus Christ has done that in calling you. That's right. Open the cage to let you out. This little dove that I was speaking of before, He tried, and he was cooing. He was getting closer to the temple. And then the rider said that the little fellow was cooing and trying to put his little shoulders to him. Couldn't get it on that side, the other side, to try everyone. He was getting more restless and more restless. His little mate was waiting over the hill, and just a little while, and he'd be killed. And he's trying to get his little self through. And after a while, he turned over like this, and then give a push. It was different. Something slipped. Oh, child of God. You went to church after church and place after place. You tried to get free from this and free from sickness and free from this and free from this, and you can't do it. Why don't you turn over tonight and look up like this and then give a push? See what happens. You'll feel a little slip. You went to divine healers, they've laid their hands up on you and done this and done that, but why don't you turn and look towards Calvary and then give a push? Feel a slip come. Something will happen. Yes, sir. And the first thing you know, he'd give another push and another push, and he was free, and he threw his little wings out like that and hailed away across the mountain to his living mate. Oh, what a difference. Old blind Bartimaeus, you ever read his story? Here's a little story of him. Bartimaeus had been blind for years. And he had a little girl, we're told, a little story of him. And he had a little girl, she was about 10 years old, a little curly-headed girl. He'd never seen her in all of his life. And the day how dogs lead the blind, the sheep led the blind, then he had lambs that led the blind. And Bartimaeus sat on the street begging, and he had two little turtle doves that done little enchantments for the passersby, and he begged for his living. And one night, they said that his wife got real sick, and he went to pray. He said, "Dear God, if you'll save my wife's life and not let her die, tomorrow I'll offer my two little turtle doves as a sacrifice." And his wife was well the next morning. He walked up to the temple and offered his turtle doves as a sacrifice. Not long after that, he didn't have the enchantment then to attract the attention of people, just him and his lamb, sitting in the cold, awaiting for whoever would pass by and give him a coin. And then one night, his little girl took sick, and the doctor thought she was going to die. He staggered his way out into the night, and he laid down and he said, "God, I don't have nothing else here to give you but my lamb. But if you'll let my little girl live, I promise you, Lord, tomorrow I'll go to the temple and offer my lamb for a sacrifice. His little girl was well the next morning. And here he goes up the temple early in the morning with his lamb. He said the great high priest Caiaphas stood up and said, "Oh, blind Bartimaeus, where goest thou?" He said, "Oh, high priest, I go to the temple to offer my lamb." He said, "Last night my little girl was sick. I promised God if he would heal my little girl, I'd offer my lamb." He said, "Blind Bartimaeus, thou cannot offer that lamb." Said, "I'll give you a money and you go buy your lamb." He said, "Oh, high priest, I never offered God a lamb. I offered him this lamb." That's the trouble. You try to help. Well, God wants you on the altar. Not your flower, not your money. He wants you. You on the altar. You're the person that's going to make the offering. Why, the great high priest said, "Blind Bartimaeus, thou cannot offer that lamb. That lamb is your eyes." He said, "True, high priest, but God will provide a lamb for blind Bartimaeus' eyes." He went on to offer his sacrifice, sitting without a dove, without a lamb, and one day there was a noise started up the street. God had a lamb for blind Bartimaeus' eyes. The Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. God had a lamb for his eyes. That was God's provided lamb. And that same lamb's provided tonight for every sinner. For every boy, girl, every man or woman. If I hurt your feelings preaching, I didn't aim to. The only thing I want to do is tell you the truth, my friend. Don't fall out with me. Listen, if you sick people here, that you're hopeless and helpless. Doctors are all he can do. But God has a lamb provided for you. He has a provided way if you're ready to receive it. Shall we bow our heads a moment? Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the promise that thou hast made us and provided for us a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray that that bleeding of that lamb will echo down from Calvary in every sinner's heart here tonight. Think of it. That bleeding lamb hanging between the heavens and earth, dying an innocent substitute for a guilty sinner. And we spurn his love. God grant tonight that every wayward boy, girl, man, or woman in here will see that provided way. Come join up tonight in Calvary. Their soul and all that they are, all their thoughts, all that they are, may they lay it right on Calvary tonight. Say, "Dear God, this is all I have. I come bringing everything. You will provide for me, for I ask it in Christ's name." And while you have your head bowed, I wonder if there's a sinner, man or woman, in the building tonight. Say, "Brother Branham, I'm a sinner. Remember me in your prayer, will you? Will you raise your hand up right quick while we press for time?" Is that true? No, I don't know. You never seen him alive. You believe God's standing here with us? You believe the angel of God? You believe this gift of God? If there's anything wrong with you, God will have to tell me. Is that right? And if I would reveal to you by His Spirit what's wrong with you, just like Jesus, He went right straight to that woman at the well, said, "Go get your husband." She said, "I perceive that you're a prophet." Is that right? Well, if that same Jesus is tonight, he could go right straight to your trouble. Is that right? It's high blood pressure, isn't it? Is that right? All right. Go get well, then, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anyhow, have faith. All right. Lady, if I don't even say one thing to you, you believe anyhow. Is that right? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll heal the woman. May she go off this platform tonight happy, rejoicing, and made well. Through Christ's name, amen. God bless you, sister. Go believing now with all your heart. All right, come, next lady here. Come, sister. Do you believe with all your heart? Now, here's a woman really in serious trouble. The woman's got a mental nervousness. Isn't that right, lady? Real? Look, your worst trouble is in the late of the evening, isn't it? Long towards night, you get gloomy and worried. You get so weak, you can't hardly sit up. Is that right? You have to sit down, and you're just all tore up. Now, what it is, lady, it's nothing to hurt you. It's a premature time of the change of life, menopause. Now come here. It's a gloomy shadow, and it's nothing but a lie of the devil, see? And you're all right. You're going to get all right. Do you believe it? Yes. Lord Jesus, I bless the woman in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I pray for her healing. Amen. Now go, listen. If he could tell me what your trouble is, if I'd talk to you a few minutes, he'd tell you right, but he don't have to do that. So, will you do what I tell you to do? Why, you're just as happy as you can be. He's got you all gloomy and wore down. You've dropped down in this cycle down here when you got to get up here. Look up here, breathe up here, and say, "Thank God," and go on and be happy. You'll get well. If you don't, you're headed for a lot of trouble. All right, go believe me. All right, come, lady. You believe with all your heart? You don't deal with that kidney trouble?
Yes.
All right, go believe God and get over it then in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, come and believe now. You believe, sir?
Yes.
I wouldn't say one thing, still you believe anyhow. Is that right? Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll heal the boy of this terrible demon that's about to take his life. May it leave him in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go believing, son, with all your heart. Believe God making you well. You believe, lady, with all your heart? Come here now. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll bless the woman and heal her in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Go believing now with all your heart. The reason I'm trying to hurry, friends, we've got so many to pray for. You understand, don't you? Is everybody holding on out there, friends? All right, come now, lady. Oh, she sees she's got a trumpet in her ear. You can hear me through this, all right?
Huh?
Just a minute. Let's see if we can get her to hear better. Bow your head just a moment. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon her. I pray that you'll heal her. Take this deaf spirit from her. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Do you believe with all your heart now? All your heart?
Yes.
How long have you been deaf?
Oh, about 10 years.
10 years. Let's take this trumpet out just a moment. Both ears. Let's see. You hear that, don't you?
Yes.
You hear me now? Well, you're healed then. See, go on. You're, that's your hearing still. God bless you. All right. Here's another one standing right here, the same thing. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll bless this man and unstop these ears. Thou deaf spirit, leading in Christ's name. Come out. You hear me? You believe with all your heart? Can you hear me all right now? Say amen. I love the Lord. You're healed. God bless you. Go on your road rejoicing. Poor little baby. You believe if I ask God, God will heal it. Born in this condition. Lord Jesus, I bless the little thing. It hasn't had a chance in life. Birth did this, but thou, oh God, can give it another birth.
Yes.
Grant it, Father, in Jesus' name, may it get well. Amen. Now, God bless you, Mother. Don't worry. Go believe me and write to me and tell me about this baby. If you take my word as his prophet and believe that God has done just exactly what I said he done at Calvary, died for the healing of your child, you'll write me in a letter the next 4 or 5 days and say, Brother Branham, such a difference. My baby don't seem like the same one. Will you do that? All right. What's your name? Presley. Where are you from? All right. I'll watch for that letter. All right, sir. God bless you. All right. Well, you see the man's on a cane, probably legs gone and everything. Brother, do you believe that God will make you well?
I do.
All right. I'll just ask him and up to your faith. Lord Jesus, I pray that you heal the man. May he get well, Father. I ask this blessing in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you,
Thank the Lord.
Go now, believing with all your heart.
Lord.
Look, if you can see a difference in you by tomorrow night, will you walk up here and show me? God bless you. All right, come, lady. Do you believe with all your heart? Now, you look like a healthy person. That man, you see, he's crippled. You see that little baby there is a spastic, or deformed, the little fellow, and that little boy there. Well, sure, you see that, but you look like a well person. There's no mystery saying, that's a crippled man, that's a crippled child. Anybody sees that. But when it comes to you, you look healthy, but you got a female trouble. Isn't that right? I'm going to talk to you just a minute. All right, come here. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll heal the woman. May she go from here tonight and be made well through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Look. You go bend it. Okay. That's all I know about this. But go on. See, in the name of God's Son Jesus, for thy blessings and power, grant your blessings upon them all.